Chairs No Waiting, episode number 332, listener feedback number 26. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the fine folks over at Weaver's Department Store. Drop by over at Weaver's and pick up some of the great t-shirts. It's summertime. Great shirts are out there. I love the Barney's No Jerk t-shirt, but there's also the Words of Wisdom and so many others. Go and check them out and wear your Mayberry Pride proudly. Let's see, can you wear Pride proudly? Try it. Get a shirt from over at Weaver's or something else. They got all kinds of stuff. Weaversdepartmentstore.com. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners just like you. Thank you for your support. Hello, everybody. I'm Alan Newsom, your host for Two Chairs No Waiting. And tonight, or today, whenever you're listening to this, we're going to be getting a little bit of listener feedback going. Because I've gotten a good bit of voicemail and written in questions as well in the last several weeks. And so I wanted to try to start going through some of these because I feel like I've been leaving you guys hanging that have actually taken time to write in. So I'm going to go in first here. We're going to hear from a question from Chris about Howard McNear and Elvis. Now, here's what he has to say. He says, "Hey, Alan, does anyone know if Howard McNear and Elvis Presley acted together? I read somewhere that Howard was in 2 Elvis pictures and probably more." So that's from Chris. Now, Chris, I did a little bit of research and looked around, and actually he was in 3 episodes. Matter of fact, I was doing it right before the show started a few minutes ago. Howard was in Blue Hawaii with Elvis. He was also in Follow That Dream. And I believe Follow That Dream, he played a banker. He played Mr. Chapman in Blue Hawaii. And he was also in a movie called Fun in Acapulco. And I hope I said it right. I was having trouble earlier getting this in. So, yes, Howard McNear was in movies with Elvis, and Elvis really liked him. I believe I've told this story before, but Kit McNear, his son, one time he was at home by himself and his dad wasn't home. The phone rang and Kit said that he told me this story, that he answered the phone and the person on the other end said, "Is your father there? This is Elvis Presley." And he goes, Kit said, "Johnny, is that you?" I can't remember the guy's name. Kit thought it was one of his buddies playing a trick on him. Of course, the guy's talking like Elvis, you know. And he thought he was playing a trick. He said, "I'm not falling for this. You're wrong. You're out." So Kit hung up on Elvis Presley. He hung up. Well, a few minutes later, Elvis called back. And he goes, "Oh, wait a minute. This really is Elvis. I'm not doing an Elvis impersonation because I can. Thank you. Thank you very much. That's all I can do." Anyway, he called back and said, "No, this is really Elvis. You know, can I speak to your dad, Mr. McNear, Howard McNear?" And Kit's like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. You know, dad's not here." Anyway, I always thought that was a funny story that had happened. Well, a little later, Kit, again, Howard's son, he was at a Elvis concert with a bunch of his buddies. And he had been telling his buddies about this having happened and that Elvis knew his dad and liked his dad. And so they were all giving him a hard time. "Oh, you don't know Elvis. Elvis doesn't know your dad," all this kind of stuff. So during the show, he wrote a note and carried it down to the stage, down where the big burly bouncer standing there with his arms folded, you know, not smiling or anything. Elvis is performing. And Kit says to the man, he said, "Look, I know you don't have any reason to believe this, but my dad and Elvis know each other. And, you know, I just wanted him to get this note. And, you know, if he had an opportunity to see us, it'd be great. But I just wanted him to have this note." So Kit gave it to the guy. He said the guy just kept his arms crossed and kind of held his hand out and let him sit it in his hand and never changed expressions. So Kit was like, "I don't know if he's going to get it or not." So he went and sat back down. Well, when Elvis did concerts, evidently he had intermission. And during the intermission, that big burly guy came up and found Kit. He said, you're Kit McNear?" Kit's like, "Yes, sir." He said, "Mr. Presley said he would love to be able to meet with you after the concert, but he has to fly out immediately following the show. But he said he just wanted to tell you how much he really admired your father." and that he would love to be able to meet you some other opportunity. Of course, all of Kit's buddies were hearing this story as it was being done. And so Kit kind of, you know, he sat back. He said, I understand that. So he sat back with his arms folded and just kind of had that, I'm sure, that Barney Fife look in his face like, see, I told you. Anyway, to answer Chris's question, yes, Howard McNair and Elvis were in movies together. All right, so we had another one. I'll read to you real quick. This is from David from over in Indiana. He said, hi, Floyd. He said, and enjoyed the trivia contest. I got 5 answers right. Well, good job. That's good. All right. So let's, I've been talking a long time. Let's see if I got some voicemail here you might enjoy. This is from Roslyn up in Nashville.
Just wanted to say I enjoyed your last episode, episode 327, I believe is what it was. And it was kind of interesting to find out about Aunt Bee and Andy's relationship. But the good thing about it, they got it right before she died. So that was a positive reflection on that situation. And I was just calling to see, are we going to have a podcast for this week? Because usually you would have had it posted by now. And this is Roslyn from Nashville, Tennessee. Thank you.
Well, Roslyn, I really appreciate you taking time to call in. There was a little glitch in the playback there where she didn't repeat herself. I think the audio did. But I really do thank you for calling. Thank you for noticing I didn't do an episode 1 week. I believe that was right around the time I was coming back from Indiana and was coming back that Monday and just couldn't get back in time to make an episode. So, but I do appreciate it. It's nice to know that I'm actually missed if I'm not able to create a podcast that week. So thank you. Now, you had talked about Aunt Bee and Andy. I agree with you. At least they did make up before their end. And I got a letter about this from Susan. So I want to read this too. And this is related, as Rosalind's question or comment was, to episode number 328, Sheriff Without a Gun, was what it was called. And it says, hi, Alan. This is from Susan. Thanks so much. I really enjoyed this episode. Congratulations on number 328. There's a group of us here in Chicago who try to join the live webcast whenever we can. And I also did miss you last week. Oh, so she missed me too. So thank you very much, Susan. Let's cut Aunt Bee a little bit of a slack, is what Susan says. I'd like to add on to the thought that Roslyn had about Aunt Bee. I've read the story of Andy Griffith and Ron Howard going to visit Francis Bavier in North Carolina and the bad results many times in the last several years. She's read this many times. Here's something that strikes me. In all the versions, it seems that they went and knocked on her door without calling first or otherwise notifying her. That could be what happened. I'm not sure. I know this doesn't seem very Mayberry-like, but I can understand someone with health ups and downs needing advance notice of a visit, especially for colleagues you haven't seen often. Apparently, Aunt Bee was housekeeping challenged at the time and didn't want to have her colleagues see the mess. As someone who travels a lot, I think it would be most... I would be almost enraged if professional associates or people I didn't see much showed up without an invitation at a time when my house was a mess. I could be wrong about the story, and maybe some of the Two Chairs folks could shed more information. The way I've always reacted to the story was that the boys shouldn't have done that the way they did. Aunt Bee would have probably liked to have seen them if they'd had an invitation. You know, I'd never really thought about it like that, Susan. That could have been something that happened. I don't really know what happened there. I know they showed up to see her, and I'd never really held it against her that she didn't want to have them in, but I never thought about it in the way you put it. So I appreciate that and appreciate Rosalind bringing that up as well. And maybe I played Rosalind's before because it sounds like you're commenting on her voicemail. So Rosalind, you got 2 plays. And speaking of that, here's another one from Rosalind because her voicemails are so good. Here's another one.
Hi. This is Rosalind from Nashville, Tennessee. First of all, I'd like to say I enjoyed the Mayberry trivia dealing with the numbers. That was a lot of fun. I have two quick questions. One is, what were the three times in which Barney wore a dress? And the next question is, did Ron Howard's brother play on an episode of The Andy Griffith Show? If so, what episode was it, and what character did he play? Keep up the good work. Thank you so much for all that you do for the podcast. Bye for now.
Well, Rosin, I appreciate you calling in again. That was twice she's called in recently, and her voicemails are so clear. I don't know how she pulls that off. It's awesome, but thank you. Now, yes, Barney, last episode, we had a trivia question about how many times Barney had worn a dress. Well, there were three times that Barney wore a dress. Let's see. The first one was The Bank Job, was the name of the episode. The Bank Job, and it was... he was dressed up like Mrs. Magruder, Mrs. Magruder's cousin, and cleaning the bank. You remember that? And he had his pants leg, and he fell and locked himself into the cell. And the next time he dressed up as a lady was in the episode Bookie Barber, the Bookie Barber, when he wanted to put that little bat right on the horsey's nose. You remember that? He had dressed up and went over to Mr. Meldon. Is that his name? The barber. And wanted to put it in there and dressed up like a lady in that one. And then the third time Barney wore a dress, to the best of my memory, was when he wore a wedding dress in Mountain Wedding in that episode of The Andy Griffith Show. So in Mountain Wedding was the last time, so far as I can remember, that Barney actually wore a dress. And of course, one of my favorites has always been when he's dressed up like Mrs. Magruder's cousin. She had fungus of the knee and was not able to come. So that was always one of my favorites. So those were the three of that. Now, the other question that Rosalind asked was about Ron Howard's brother. Now, his brother was on the Andy Griffith Show, and he always dressed up like a little cowboy. You guys probably have seen him and may not remember. Now, the one episode I can tell you for certain that he was on was the Jinx. He's on that episode at the end, or when they're trying to give away the TV set to Henry Bennett. He's there at, is that the right episode? I believe that's the right episode. He's there in the building. When they're doing that at the very end, he's like leaning up against the wall. He's got his little cowboy suit on. Now, he's in several others. I didn't research and look that up. I'll try to make sure I do a better job of answering that next time. So I'll look that up for you to tell you exactly where he's located, and you can do it. Or if somebody wants to email me that or call in with that information, that would be great. It would save me some time researching. But he was in several episodes. He was always dressed up as a little cowboy, and he was trying to get people to eat his peanut butter and jelly sandwich. His name was Leon on there. So Clint Howard. Now, he's going to be at Mayberry Days this year, so you might want to take some time to go and meet him there, which would be absolutely great. All right, so let's see. What have we got next? We have another voicemail. So let's go and hear this one. This one is from Gary Page. So, Gary, I guess I'll let you take this one away. So here you go.
Say, Alan Newsom, this is Gary Page calling from Columbus, Ohio. You guys know me as Johnny Paul Jason. Always enjoy the podcast. I really do. But I've got some information concerning the episodes about Sheriff Without a Gun. Let's go to Season 7, Episode 13. It aired 12/12/1966. Otis the Deputy. This is when Otis tries to help capture some criminals out there in the woods where Otis has got some spirits stashed in a hole in the ground. At 8:35, 8:40, you'll see Andy with a rifle in his hand. He takes a rifle and goes out looking for these two bank robbers. And he falls into the stash of empty beer bottles. Check it carefully at 8:40 in the film. It's not Andy. I think it's a rare occasion where Andy has an actual stunt double. I ran it back a couple of times and looked at it, and it's not Andy, but it's close. I hope you can find it. I hope you enjoy it. Appreciate the podcast from Johnny, Paul, Jason. God bless you richly, and I'll see you Monday night in Two Chairs, No Waiting. Bye-bye.
Well, Johnny Paul, I want to thank you for calling in, and you are 100% right. It's definitely Andy when you see him originally running into the shot, but then it cuts over and shows a cabin, and then the next guy you see going through there is definitely not Andy. He seems to be a little bit shorter and probably weighs a little bit more than Andy, and he's the one that trips over into that thing. But I agree with you. I'd never seen that particular thing before, but it's definitely not Andy, and he definitely has a gun. So there's another case of him having a gun, but that is not Andy. But you're right. From the side, as the picture is, it really does look like him. So if you have that episode, you can go and watch it, and you'll be able to see that it's not Andy. But you can also, if you watch this podcast episode, I've got screenshots and everything and even the video playing so that you can actually see that it's Andy at the beginning, but then it turns out it is not him. So Gary, great job catching this. I don't remember anybody ever mentioning this to me before, that was not Andy and that was a stunt double. So good job. You get a point. Of course, my memory is getting really bad. Maybe somebody has told me. But I have to give you a point because I didn't remember this. Great job. Thank you so much for calling in. I'm sure everybody will enjoy trying to catch that. If you don't get to look it up, I'll try to post the photos on the Facebook page at facebook.com/twochairs. You'll see the screen grabs. And also, you can watch the video version of the podcast and see the actual clip that he's talking about. All right, so what else have I got? I have one more voicemail, so let's go and hear this one.
Hey, Alan, this is Diana Lane. Just called to say I've been watching a lot of Andy Griffith lately, and I saw two episodes tonight, and there was a character actor on both of them, and he was so funny. It's Arthur Mallet. He was Purvis on the Battle of Mayberry episode, and then he was a vagrant on the Lost and Found episode where Aunt Bee lost her brooch. Those were both so funny. And he was so crazy looking. He had his teeth out as the vagrant, and then he was just a townsperson named Purvis in the Battle of Mayberry. And I looked him up on IMDb, and he was on almost every sitcom through the 70s. He was an actor known for being in the movies Halloween, Hook, and The Secret of Nim, and many other movies. And he was on one of my favorite shows in an episode or maybe more of ER as one of the doctors. So anyway, he was a British born in England, and he died in 2013. And I thought that was really interesting. I don't know if he was any more of the Andy Griffith shows or not. May see him pop up, but he's almost as good a character as Ernest T. I really enjoyed watching those two episodes. Thanks, Alan. We'll be listening to you. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, Diane, yeah, he was in episode Lost and Found. It's number 178. And he was in Battle of Mayberry. It's episode 188. Those are only 10 episodes apart. But if you actually saw those pictures as the images of them, he does not look like the same guy to me. Now, the bullet from November 2013 has a write-up about him. So let me just share that with you really quick. He was born Vivian R. Mallet in Lee on Solnit. Boy, I'm sure I'm butchering this, but that's evidently a place in England. He was born September 24th, 1927, and he appeared in two episodes of The Andy Griffith Show, both in season 6. First, he was the vagrant in Lost and Found, as Diana mentioned. and he also played Purvis in Battle of Mayberry. That wide range of roles was typical for Arthur, who changed his name for acting and played everything from a judge on Bewitched to a professor on The Wild Wild West to a graveyard keeper in Halloween and a bum on Bosom Buddies. He won a special award from the Drama Desk Awards in 1957 for his contributions to the Broadway revival of The Misanthrope that was performed in French. He was also in three Broadway productions in the late 50s before concentrating on film work. Okay. Among his hundreds of film roles, he was also Mr. Dawes Jr. in Disney's Mary Poppins. He was especially visible on TV shows from the 60s throughout the 1980s, ranging from The Dick Van Dyke Show, The Monkees, Columbo, Charlie's Angels, all the way to MacGyver and Dallas. Arthur Mallett had a gloriously varied and full career, playing interesting parts, large and small. We're lucky that he made a couple of stops in Mayberry. And wow, Diana compared him to Ernest T. Bass. And you know what? Ernest T. Bass was only on 5 episodes, and Mallett here was on 2, so it's not too far different. But thank you for that. These are color episodes, and so a lot of people never give the color episodes any credit. So I want to thank you for that. And I also want to thank, I got one more email that came in. That was an email today I actually got, and I want to thank her for writing in. And it was from Sarah. So Sarah Blaine, she wrote in, she said, hi, Alan. Let's see here. I can pull these up. Said, hi, Alan Newsom. Here's a picture of you at Mayberry Days. So she sent me a picture of myself at Mayberry Days dressed up like Floyd. So that's always fun for me to get. She said, it's a good one too. You will remember this when you see yourself. I'm glad to be able to keep in touch with you, and I'm glad to help you with your podcast. Now, I appreciate that, Sarah. It's up to you to give me a haircut. So she sent me a picture of me cutting her hair at Mayberry Days as well. So Sarah, I want to thank you for writing in. Thank you. She's always with us in the chat room, and she let me cut her hair at Mayberry Days. And you know, that's always a lot of fun to get to meet and greet people, especially people that are in the chat room and visit with us here on the podcast that I hear from. It's always really nice to get to meet you and see you in person. So I want to thank her for that. Now, as part of that, I want to mention that there's a event coming up over at the podcast site. Well, it's not at the podcast site, but we're having a Mayberry meetup. So if you're going to be able to come, I would love to hear from you again. And if you are coming and you've already reserved and you've already done all these things, please let me know. But the information is this. There's going to be a Mayberry meetup in Mount Airy, North Carolina, the 17th through the 19th of July. So it's not too far away. So I want to hear from you, and you can let me know. We're going to be doing all kinds of things. We'll be meeting at the Mayberry Motor Inn. There's a link in the show notes about the meetup, so you'll be able to read what's going on. And in the next few days, or a week or so here, not very long from now, I will be putting information out there about exactly some of the events that we'll be doing, some of the things. But the main thing is gathering together at the Mayberry Motor Inn in their gazebo, and we're going to watch episodes of The Andy Griffith Show and visit and talk and have a good time and probably eat. So how much more Mayberry can it get? So if you can come, I'd love to have you there. It's always great fun to meet fans from the show. Of the Andy Griffith Show and folks here from the podcast that enjoy listening. It's always great to get together and share some fun and times together. So let me know. Please email me at floyd@imayberry.com. I'm trying to get a better head count because I think there's going to be a lot of people, and I'm not sure how many. Some of you have already emailed me and everything. Let me know. But if you would, I'd like for you to send it again and put in your subject, say Mayberry meetup, so that I can find all the folks that are coming to the meetup. Because I think there's 20, 30 people coming, and we're going to have a good time and visit. I know it's myself and my wife are going. Otis is coming. So those are some of them that Otis Campbell, Kenneth Junkin. He's going to be there, so he'll be able to share stories. We've got folks coming to play music. I think, you know, the Hinckleys are coming. I'm sure Steve will be playing his music, and I know we've got others as well that are planning to be there. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and you are invited. So I would love to hear from you. As you know, if you've got things to tell like these folks did tonight, I'd love to hear from you. You can give me a call at 888-684-8415 and get your voice here on the podcast. You can also email me at floyd@imayberry.com, or you can drop by the podcast website. That's what Susan did, and leave a comment there. And I will read it just as much there as I will if you email me. But I would love to hear from you. However you'd like to get in contact with me, it's always fun to hear from my Mayberry friends. So, folks, until next time, I hope you had a good time. And thanks again for listening and writing and calling and all the things you do. And we'll see you next time here on Two Chairs, No Waiting. Good night, everybody.